This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Take a look into the crystal ball to see when us consumers will start to feel the impacts of the Trump trade war.
And this is where we may start to see some product shortages. Out of stock situations may become more common as inventories start to run dry. Think back to the days of product scarcity, which we experienced during the pandemic.
Yeah, those were fun times to remember. And a California Democrat who voted against his own state's electric vehicle mandate has no regrets.
Doesn't that mean that AQMD should say, yeah, you're struggling, so let's figure out a way to re-engineer this mandate so all of you can survive, so all of us can survive? That's kind of reasonable, don't you think?
Welcome to the LA Local for this hump day, Wednesday, May 7th, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, Jonathan Service, and global logistics are my passion. Good to have you with us. On today's show, we're getting a preview of the fast approaching impact of tariffs. Will it be possible to sidestep rising prices and product shortages? And I have a spirited exchange with Orange County Congressman Lou Correa, who voted with House Republicans to overturn California's controversial EV mandate. I love this conversation with the congressman because it really gets to the complicated crossroads of climate change policies and economics. Also, the congressman quickly became one of my favorite interview subjects. You'll hear why. Let's start with the current state of the global supply chain, which is an ominous sign of things to come for American consumers. Let me start off by throwing some numbers at you. The CEO of the Port of Long Beach has called the import situation dire as President Trump's 145% tariffs on Chinese imports kick into high gear. Over at the Port of Los Angeles, scheduled shipments are down 35% year on year this week. Cargo traffic into both of our local ports combined is down 50%. To get a better understanding of when and how we'll be experiencing Trump's tariffs, I called up supply chain expert Abe Eshkenazi.
So the first 5 days of May, only 22 container ships came into the ports of LA and Long Beach. It's not down dramatically. I guess it's 29 normally. But here's where it gets scary. Only 9 container ships are on the docket now from May 6th to May 8th, which is a drop in half of what's expected. So I imagine that we're really now starting to feel the effects of all this.
No, absolutely. I think what you're seeing is the tariff and, you know, induced factory shutdowns, stock depletions. I think we're seeing it in a number of different areas. And I think we need to take a look at it, you know, in the type of industries or products that we're talking about, and also duration. It's not going to be an even impact on each type of product that we're looking at.
All right, let's dig into that a little bit. Let's focus on the Chinese tariffs. Keep in mind, you know, every trading partner is still under some kind of tariff. I think it was like 10% or something. So it's kind of across the board. But consumer goods, people are walking into a Costco, a Target, yep, a Walmart. Where do we see the impacts first?
Yeah, a really great question, Jonathan. I think we need to take a look at it in terms of first overall. Most likely, it is going to fuel a little bit of inflation, price, you know, obviously sensitivity, and it's going to disrupt consumer habits, no question. The categories that you're indicating are the ones that are going to be impacted, you know, first. Electronics, fast fashion, home goods, those toys, those are the things that obviously will, you know, hit the consumer almost immediately within the next 1 to 3 months. We've got an issue of a lot of organizations that maybe have moved inventory forward in anticipation of these, you know, the tariffs. But once those, you know, inventories are depleted, then you're going to have stockout situations. So in the short term, you know, 1 to 3 months, we're anticipating rising prices. Then you need to start taking a look at midterm, 3 to 6 months, what is most likely going to happen. And this is where we may start to see some product shortages, out of stock situations may become more common as inventory, specifically safety stocks, start to run dry. And now we'll enter into a very different type of, you know, environment. Think back to the days of product scarcity, which we experienced during the pandemic. I'm not indicating that it's going to be that dire, but more than likely, we are going to see product shortages. More than likely, you're going to see, you know, fewer sizes, colors, availability of options. And more than likely, you'll see smaller and medium-sized companies really get hit hard because they don't have the flexibility or the, you know, the resources to withstand these kinds of, you know, shocks to the system.
Once factories are idled, cargo ships are basically docked, how long does it take to turn all of that around? I mean, imagine you can't just flip a switch and turn everything back on again, and then stocks are shelves are stocked again, you know, a week later. I mean, imagine it takes, could take months to get a correction in this.
Absolutely, Jonathan. And again, you need to take a look at which category that you're talking about between the smartphones and toys. Obviously, each one has a different supply chain, you know, time period in terms of between order to manufacture to delivery. I think we may start to see some decline in product variety and innovation. Obviously, it's extremely difficult for organizations to re-engineer or to invest in new products if they don't know what the product cost is or their offering or their availability to provide it. Secondly, shifts in retail strategies, maybe relying more on domestic or regional sourcing or made in America, made in the USA type marketing. But I think we also have to take a look at this is going to hit a, you know, the low income households much harder than it does any others. Further, this is a particular concern, is the erosion of consumer confidence. As prices and choices shrink, consumers may start to delay purchases, and they probably already have, to track down cheaper goods or cheaper brands. Prolonged disruptions can dampen overall spending, especially in the lower income, you know, middle income households. We saw this, you know, type of erosion in consumer confidence coming out of the pandemic. Again, we're seeing that same sort of, you know, fatigue in the consumer, you know, in terms of what is it going to cost me and how can I get what I need? And it's extremely difficult for supply chain professionals today to start to forecast out when you don't know what the rules of the game are.
By the way, with most of the focus on all of the goods we import from China and elsewhere, we don't talk much about American exports. But guess what? They're down too. American farmers are taking the biggest hit, with exports of staple agricultural products like soybeans, corn, and beef all on the decline. So we're kind of getting hit coming and going, and the worst sounds like it's yet to come. All right, let's use that optimistic note to take a break, take care of some business, and when we come back, why would a veteran Democratic congressman from California, who says he's all in on the nation's electric future, vote to overturn his own state's electric vehicle mandate? A very lively conversation ahead after the break. It's the LA Local.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thanks for sticking with us on this hump day, LA Local. I'm your host, Jonathan Service. We told you last week about the House of Representatives voting to overturn California's special EPA waiver that allows it to set an electric car mandate. Just as a reminder of how this is going to work, by next year, a minimum of 35% of all cars sold here in California must be zero emissions. And zero emissions in this case will almost always mean an electric car. I mean, occasionally you're going to get like a hydrogen car, but if it's putting out no greenhouse gases, then it's almost certainly going to be electric. The requirement ramps up to 68% of all cars being zero emissions by 2030 models. And in 2035, California's rule bans all sales of gasoline-powered cars.
California was granted permission to set those standards through an EPA waiver. It's a fairly common practice of the federal government allowing states to set their own climate agendas. All right, but back to the House vote. The overturning of California's mandate had an extra sting to it since a handful of Golden State Democrats voted with Republicans to snuff out the state's EV efforts. Orange County Congressman Lou Correa was one of those Democrats. And when I called him up to talk about it, he was unapologetic.
Before I start kind of trying to poke holes in the issues, tell me your overall reason for voting with Republicans against California.
I didn't vote with Republicans. I voted with my constituents, who are essentially working families, middle class families who are trying to survive on a day-to-day basis. They're paying rents that are through the roof. They're paying to gasoline now that's more than $5 a gallon in many cases. Food prices are going through the roof. You got tariffs that are raising the price of cars. And now you've got this mandate that's going to also increase the price of transportation. One of the big complaints I get from my constituents is, when are you going to bring down the price of gasoline? When are you going to help me make it on a week-by-week basis? I voted for my constituents. That's what I get paid to do.
Well, rather than vote against the mandate, why not put more energy into federal funding of electric charging stations? You brought up the point that it's hard
I have
to...
I have been voting for every piece of legislation at the state and at the federal level for more funding for electric EV chargers. Where are they? We have another issue, which is we can't build things in California. Why? Can't we build things in California?
Have you brought any of this? Have you had conversations like this with Governor Newsom recently, out of curiosity?
I've never had a conversation with you. These conversations are going on every day. Okay, this is not a Lou Correa, I found out. These issues have been there for many years. We need to figure out how to continue to build in California. Take into consideration the environment, but move ahead. Can you imagine? California just became the fourth largest economy in the world. If we could build things in California, we could build housing, EV mandated charging stations, like when we need them, we'd be the third largest economy in the world.
May I throw one more at you, Congressman?
Throw it out at me. That's why I'm here, bro.
Congressman, I need to talk to you more often. I'm thoroughly enjoying this. We just did a story a couple weeks ago. Los Angeles, Southern California, broadly area, includes parts of Orange County, are considered once again to have the worst air quality in the country. Is it not, even with the expensive transition, this complicated transition, is it not still imperative to move to that electric future as quickly as possible for the betterment of the health of your constituents so they're not breathing in all the carcinogens in the air?
I grew up in the 70s when I couldn't play outside because my lungs would hurt from the air pollution. We've made a lot of progress, and that's why I've been one of the strongest votes for cleaning the air. But for me to go to my constituents and say, we are going to impose the burden of all this goal on you, the poor people in my district who can't afford to pay for it. I would rather say, and this is what I would love AQMD would do, which they're not going to do, which is say, you know what? We're pushing in this direction. We understand we need a little bit more time, so we'll be flexible. But there is no flexibility. I would love to work on some of these decisions. I would love to work with some of this policy. But for me to go back to my constituents and say, you know what? You're going to essentially going to take the economic bullet for the rest of society.
Yeah, and this is my final question, Congressman. You just started to answer it. But what is then your solution? Because you clearly are a supporter of electric.
My solution is we continue, okay, to work on these issues of clean air. We continue to address the issue of affordability where the rubber meets the road. Remember, what was the message that we got in November? To listen to the working families of this country. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm listening to the working families of this country who are saying we can't survive. And so doesn't that mean that AQMD and some of the others in our society should say, yeah, you're struggling, so let's figure out a way to re-engineer this mandate so all of you can survive, so all of us can survive. That's kind of reasonable, don't you think?
A congressman calling me bro in the middle of an interview is definitely going to be a career highlight. Look, agree or disagree with the EV mandate or with Congressman Correa's decision to vote against it, he raises a lot of compelling and tricky issues with trying to implement policies to combat climate change while keeping socioeconomic pressures and realities in mind. There are some things the congressman brought up that are tough to dispute. EVs are expensive. There are nowhere near enough electric vehicle charging stations to sustain more EVs on the roads right now. But look, that's what we're all about here on The Local. We like messy and tricky and compelling. You'll definitely be hearing more from Congressman Correa on future episodes. Love that guy. That's all for today. The LA Local, it's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. I'm Jonathan Service, reminding you to go out, stock up on those holiday toys and decorations while you still can. See you tomorrow.